Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Just Think, the podcast. This is Holly.
And Amy.
And Kristen.
And if this is your first time joining us, you should just know that we are three friends who came from across the political spectrum that were united in our pursuit of the truth in 2020 when literally all hell was breaking loose. And we started to be able to poke holes into the narratives, and the stories around the pandemic, the COVID vaccine. And we started this podcast to honestly bring the information we were finding that was off narrative, that maybe you weren't finding in mainstream sources. We felt that if we just had these conversations and presented evidence that what we were saying was true and it was backed by fact, that perhaps we could help people navigate very uncertain times. That was in 2021 when we launched this officially. It was in the summer of 2021. We really had every intention of trying to stay as neutral as possible in every single topic.
We tried.
We live in a world that is highly politicized, and they politicize every topic. So if there's a subject that we could be speaking on, it doesn't matter what Kristen, Amy, and I said. If it landed on the right, we're going to be accused of being, in some cases, right-wing extremists or right-wingers. To be clear, we were raised across the political spectrum. We are all registered independents. We actually hate partisan politics. We hate politics. We think we live amongst a very corrupt system that is not serving we the people. It is serving the elites of the world. So we are changing our intro, and we are coming clean here. We are not sitting here trying to show multiple perspectives of topics we may discuss, because there is a full-blown narrative perspective on mainstream media. You can go get that there. You can go to all of your traditional media sources, and you're going to hear Mockingbird Media repeat basically the same things. We serve as a place to go have those conversations that aren't necessarily being had on mainstream media. And it doesn't make us right-wingers, doesn't make us necessarily Trump supporters. But what we can say is the era that we're living in, we three no longer feel like we can hold back in being really brutally honest with the fact that we are living in the midst of the most corruption we've ever seen in our lifetimes. And we're not sure that it hasn't always been corrupt and we're just now seeing it really in the last few years, or if the corruption has escalated. It certainly seems with the rise in censorship and the political attacks of the Democrat Party onto Donald Trump and to other Republicans for their own gains, like basically weaponizing our judicial system against Republicans. Like, we find great issue. We take great issue with that. And we think every American should, whether you love or hate Donald Trump, shouldn't matter. It's about what is right. So I want to be clear from this day forward, and frankly, it's been that way, but we don't want to mislead. We're not here to mislead anyone. Anyone who thinks that you're going to come here to hear what the mainstream media is parroting, no, we're not parrots. We just think for ourselves. We're going to encourage you to do the same thing. Okay? So in this political season, as much as we hate what's going on, we're not going to be quiet. And here's why. Because we've been silenced. We were silenced by Meta and Mark Zuckerberg's company, Instagram, who deplatformed us for months for simply telling the truth about the Hep B vaccine. And well, that's what our last post was, and we got removed. As we said, it had been studied for 5 days, and that is it. And suddenly, our account was gone. We had violated, quote, community standards. After experiencing this kind of censorship, we are more emboldened than ever to say what we think. And not just that, we're not here to sit in your echo chambers and tell you what your tickling ears want to hear. We're here to challenge you to think about why you believe what you believe and to ask you why you're not opening your mouth too. Listen, it's not been easy to do this. We don't get paid to do this podcast other than a few things that we have that we can monetize. This is not our bread and butter. And in fact, it probably has cost us more than anything to put our necks on the line and simply just state facts. Like, yes, we have opinions, and you can criticize me for my opinions. But when we're bringing actual evidence of things and you're still labeling us as, I don't know, anti-vaxxers or right-wing extremists, it's patently false, all of it. And it's just a way for you to deflect from the truth. And what we have found is that the darkness doesn't like the light. A lie does not like the truth. People who are indoctrinated are very stubborn about having their minds open. And if you don't believe me, just go look on social media right now and read the comments under certain political posts, and you will see that there literally has to, some kind of stupor has fallen over half of America or some portions of America, not sure how much, where they cannot see the truth even when it jumps up and slaps them in the face. So with that said, today we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about this stupid election, this presidential election. We're going to talk about the lying media. We're going to talk about censorship and Zuckerberg and Meta. We're going to talk about the corruption in this country. And we're going to tell you, if you don't get educated on it and you don't not just get educated, but you start talking to your friends and family and neighbors, you do not have to do anything else other than make sure your friends, families, and neighbors know they need to get educated on why they're voting, the way they're voting, and what's going on, because the time has come to dismantle the institutions that are built on corruption. Period. Full stop. And we're here for that. So with that said, hey, girls, where do we want to start first? Amy.
Talk about dismantling. I feel like Friday is one of those days that I think everybody's going to remember where they were. Don't y'all feel like it's going to be one of those days?
Yes.
Like you're going to remember where you were when you heard that RFK dropped his campaign and decided to endorse Trump and said that he was going to, have a seat in his cabinet and hopefully help address the chronic illness and childhood disease epidemic in our country. I mean, can we get a hallelujah?
Yes.
I mean, the fact that these two have linked up, I think just gave a lot of people a whole lot of hope. And
yes,
just because there's so much good with RFK, like we were all torn, we love him. We love the things that we know that he knows that he can handle, that he can do, but knowing that it would be really hard for him to actually win. So the fact that he's endorsed Trump and he's guaranteed a spot in this administration. And like he said, his speech was, if you have not heard it, Kristen Ross posted on our Substack. You can read the whole thing. You can watch the whole thing. It is absolutely, I mean, it moved me to tears.
Same.
Like he was just saying that he is 70 years old and he may have a decade left to actually make an impact. And like, this is what he wants his legacy to be. And this is what he said when he met with Trump, that Trump wants his legacy to be, that they have addressed childhood disease and illness and figuring out why the rise in autoimmune, autism, ADHD, all these issues.
Obesity.
Our kids are having. And the only way he could do it was to put himself last or whatever, and put the country over his own political aspiration and suspend his campaign so that he could take his remaining time that he has left to make an impact and actually do that. And I'm just like,
it brought me to tears.
Of the weekend, I was just like on a high because I just feel like so much, we feel so hopeful, y'all.
I don't think
like a dream team.
It's such a dream team. And it takes such humility from Kennedy and Trump because Kennedy even talks about, so by the way, couple of podcasts you're going to want to go here, go listen to him, Tucker's interview with RFK. Holy cow. Oh. We also know that Dr. Phil on Merritt Street Media, hello, shout out Merritt Street Media. Go Dr. Phil, trying to do the same thing we're doing, which is like just bring all the information to the table, uncensored information to the table. He's interviewing RFK and Trump this week. So you guys go check that out. But I think what's so important is that that they were willing to find where they agree. And, Kristen, Amy, and I, that was how we started this podcast. Like, the three of us didn't sit down and say, hey, what's your stance on, let's say, abortion or taxes or the welfare programs? Like, we never once asked each other what we thought about any of that. It didn't matter. We were so united in understanding health and wellness in 2020, understanding that the typical protocols that should have been used to address a pandemic, like nutrition, vitamin D, outdoor time, all those things, drinking lots of water, none of those things were addressed. They went all in on a medical remedy instead of telling the average American what they could do immediately to protect themselves. They absolutely ostracized every cheap therapy and then monetized all the expensive ones that led you to a hospital or ultimately even death in some cases. So we were united in that. We didn't look at each other and say, well, hey, by the way, Let's all just make sure we agree on everything before we have, never. And you know why? We love and respect each other. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if we disagree on stuff. We don't even care. We literally, it's like we sit around going, well, she feels this way about it. We don't care. We do not care. So to me, and I'm going to admonish some right wingers on this, when Kennedy gave his endorsement, there were still people, there was a comment on one of our things on Instagram, just thank the podcast, our Instagram handle, like where somebody's like, well, and they're still nitpicking Kennedy for something that he doesn't agree with. And I'm like, dude, you're missing the flipping point. Also, there was a criticism because we shared Rob Schneider's interview also with Tucker. Another one we highly recommend you go check out. And Rob Schneider was talking about just taking a stand for the vaccine injured and how that has hurt his career. And this idiot goes and comments. I hope you're listening. You go and comment as a man. He's like, well, this guy couldn't even be there for his daughter. If you had listened to the entire interview where Rob actually goes in and apologizes and says, I was not the father she deserved. I wish I had been. This idea that you have to live perfectly to make a difference. This idea that you have to agree on everything to make a difference. Listen, it doesn't matter. And anyone who is focused on someone's past clearly sits in a glass house and hasn't checked out their own SHIT. Okay? Because once you realize you got your stuff too, it's real hard to sit in judgment on everybody else. Right? And I feel like that the marriage or the merger or whatever you want to call this thing with RFK and Trump, just this alliance, this uniparty concept has everything to do with where do we agree? Not where do we not? And then also vigorous debate around the things you don't, so we can move closer to good solutions and not this two-party system that's literally killing us. What do you guys think?
I mean, can I just make an obvious point?
Yeah.
Look at the alternative. I mean,
He's our only shot.
Look at Trump and RFK versus cackling Kamala, who can't answer a damn question. She has yet to answer any question about policy. She talks in circles more than I've ever heard in my life. I mean, a two-year-old talks better than her. I don't understand all of this. And I'm not saying just go for somebody because the other one's terrible, but that's really a lot what a lot of people do. You know, you pick the lesser of two evils, and what do you agree with the most on? We don't even know what to agree with Kamala on because she hasn't said anything.
I mean, videos of people going around saying, what's your favorite, you know, policy of Kamala's? Like, what are you excited about? Absolutely non-answers. No one, everybody's like, oh, well, I don't really know. Or, oh, she's a woman. Or, oh, she's, you know, she's gonna be the first. She's a good vibe. She's a vibe. She's a positive vibe. Like, these are the things that people are, a brat. She's a brat. Or whatever the hell that means.
Here's what I'm gonna say. If you use the term brat in your regular vernacular, don't vote. I'm gonna say it. Don't vote.
Or if you're voting because brat is something that you think is trending, like, please stay home.
Please don't.
Please stay home.
Please stop it. Please stop it. That's it. Like, again, educated voters, please. Educated voters. If we disagree on policy, fine. Absolutely. We should disagree on policy. We don't all have it all right. It's no longer a difference in perspectives. You know, the left and right, conservative, liberal, there should be very clear distinctions, and you probably either leaned one way or the other. It's now literally right or wrong. It's like, it's either do you believe in silence in your political opponents? Do you believe in free speech? I mean, the vice presidential candidate, her running mate, Tim, what's Tim's last name? Thank you, Tim Walz. I wanted to say Wentz. I was like, that's not it. Walz. Tim Walz is on camera saying that the government should be the arbiter of truth in America. That is not free speech. Free speech is free speech to say really dumb stuff and it's still okay to say it, or really untrue stuff and it's still okay.
And it's also to hold the government in check.
Exactly.
The people have the right to hold them in check and criticize them. That is our right, and we deserve to do that.
Did y'all see his entrance onto the stage?
Yes, Jazz Hands McGee.
Jazz Hands, honey.
He is like, those Jazz Hands are out of control.
I thought you were going to talk about him with his son, yanking him.
There's a little behind-the-scenes moment that they probably didn't realize they were going to show to the world Like, I'm sorry. Like, how do you explain that away? Like, all of us have yanked our kid probably when they were little and acting up. But this kid was not.
When they're three, you know, when you're like, come on. Yeah. Like, and they're throwing a fit. Yeah.
Walking on the stage. Like, he's not doing it. He's not pitching a fit. He's not like, turning around.
He was smiling at the audience. It was really uncomfortable to watch.
It was really hard to watch. And some people did it like the slow-mo and it's just over. And I was like, oh my God, like what kind of person is this? I don't know.
Well, I tried to play devil's advocate and just go, because y'all know I have special needs family members that I adore. And so I know sometimes steering them into place and that, you know, that takes some effort, but I just kept watching him. So I was trying to play devil's advocate and give the man a break, you know, and just say, well, you know.
The look on his face.
But the look on his face was bad. It was like, I can't justify this, dude. Like, I'm trying to help you out here.
Right.
Because I do know that you're probably trying to guide and make sure he stays, you know, where he's supposed to stay. It's a big moment. It was a real bad look. It just made him look like he's potentially abusive or harsh in some way. And I'm not saying that he is. I'm just saying that's the look it gave. And of course, right wingers jumped right on that. You know, they were all like, look what the, you know, but I was trying to stay in the middle and go,
Amy and I even talked about it. I was like, I mean, I know that if somebody had been videoing me and me telling my kids to get your ass over here.
There
have been probably some videos in the grocery store of me yanking my kids. and I'm not abusive, but you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah, in a bad moment.
But it really, you know, because you it's hard to judge somebody like because of that. And we don't want to be doing the same thing that other people do.
That's right.
But it just was a bad look. I don't know. It's just something it was something to notice. Just put it back in your brain and just pay attention, you know?
Agreed. And also it just put it back in my brain that perhaps he's not the straightest man in America.
Right.
I mean, the jazz hands did. I was like, what is happening?
He's really excited.
I think this is the thing.
The fanfare, that's for sure.
They're going to listen. People will hate me for saying this. This is the kind of stuff that like the left hates to hear because, of course, we talk a lot about toxic. You hear a lot about toxic masculinity. And I'm one of those females who are like, give me the masculinity because I do not think you're hot if you don't have it. Right. Like, weak men are so unattractive to me. So unattractive to me. So I just think that there was an abundance of femininity at the DNC. Like, if you look, now listen,
Megan Thee Stallion twerking.
I mean, y'all. Now, I must say, the RNC, I mean, I was not really digging Hulk Hogan either. Like, I'm not looking for that either. Like, that's just personal for me. Like, I was like, this is cheesy and you need to stop. Some people loved it. It is not for me. So I'm going to be an equal opportunity offender and just say, that's not for me either. I would actually like to just have conversations on policy and like actual, by the way, I've never in my life, the DNC was absolutely just some kind of, it seemed like they were just speaking in these ideological clouds. Like there was no concrete, here's the plan.
Joy. No, I think they mentioned Trump's. I forgot. I saw somebody say 200 times they mentioned his name. They didn't mention like the border, the economy, but like maybe
it was this fluffy stuff. And I'm like, give me your plan. Give me your plan so I can evaluate your plan on this plan. Now, let's be real. I'm going to be real clear. I have no doubt who I'm voting for. It is not him. Okay? I'm not her. It is not her. Mm. It is not her and him. It's not Tim and Kamala. It's not. It is not. I think the future of democracy really is at stake, and it's not by the person that the mainstream media has told you to fear. And there was it Karl Marx who said the way, we're going to get this quote right. Karl Marx said that the way to bring confusion to the masses is to accuse them of the very thing you're doing. So when they say he's a threat to democracy, then the question back is, okay, how? And if they bring up January 6th, just ask somebody, so what did Trump do did he storm the Capitol? Did he give a directive to storm the Capitol? If they say yes, they go back and watch the whole speech. Mm-hmm. He said, peacefully protest. And for people who say, now listen, I'm going to give it to you. Trump does not like to lose. His first wife said that that's why their divorce was messy. He doesn't like to lose. I will give you that all day long. He's probably a poor loser. However, like in general, right? However, that does not make him a criminal. It does not make him guilty of creating an insurrection. Because if you listen to his words and you look at what happened on the night of the election and then the days and weeks following, if you think he didn't have a reason to question the result, you weren't paying attention. And I say that as someone who accepted the results and had a lot of questions about their validity. And living in the state of North Carolina, I had never seen it when we stopped counting votes. We just sat there. And then it was magically when Georgia found out they had the votes whichever way it was. It was like Georgia and North Carolina, they had to figure out which electoral votes they were getting before they certified the other. It was, to me, the timing, the mail-in ballots, the number of ballots that people were screaming about and saying, these don't look legitimate. There was so much room to doubt it, guys. There's so much room to doubt it that it doesn't make him crazy for doubting the outcome. Now, we're not sitting here saying everything was handled perfectly. I don't know. But the left just went all in and immediately said the most perfect election ever, the most certifiable election, like craziness.
I just recall in 2016 when Hillary was, they were saying that the election was fraudulent and that it was, he's an illegitimate president, that he was inserted by Russia, which was all a hoax. For years, they went on that this election was fraudulent. And the minute that, you know, Trump had questions about the 2020 election, he's a violent insurrectionist. He's a traitor to the country. I mean, it's just the double standard once again, every time.
Well, that segues right on into a lot of clips that we have right now where they just keep trying. It's like rules for thee, not for me. It's absolutely ridiculous. And we are here, like Holly said, to call out the BS and to poke holes in the narrative that everybody on the mainstream is trying to share with the mockingbird media. You know, it's propaganda out the yin yang, and it is absolutely ridiculous. And we have to call it out. Like, we can't not call it out. This is where we're like, no, people need to know the truth.
That's exactly right. Well, and we were talking about too, if you go look at comments on social media by people on the left, they are still saying that he's guilty of Charlottesville, which Snopes has even now debunked. He never said that those racist bigots were good people. So many things they say that he's going to have a federal abortion ban. So let's just start there. Shall we?
This is one of their favorites. That I think the whole DNC was about reproductive rights. And then if you
Donald. Yeah. Right. Sorry. I didn't mean to play it. I'm going to see if I don't want to play it the wrong way. Let me just see. Okay. All right. Here.
Donald Trump. And understand he is not done. As a part of his agenda, he and his allies would limit access to birth control, ban medication abortion, and enact a nationwide abortion ban with or without Congress.
Democrats made the case this week and beyond this week that Donald Trump, if elected, will impose a federal ban on abortion if he wins. Now, Donald Trump says he won't, but can you commit, Senator, sitting right here with me today, that if you and Donald Trump are elected, that you will not impose a federal ban on abortion?
I can absolutely commit that, Kristen. Donald Trump has been as clear about that as possible.
You wouldn't support a national ban?
No, I wouldn't support a national ban. No, I would not.
Because of Donald Trump.
So there you go.
How much more clear do we have to be? Like, you can even, they can even say that they're not going to, and that people still will go out there, Kamala will still go out there and say, he's going to ban abortion, even though they're clearly saying he's not. I mean, I just, what else do you want?
There's just literally the IVF, you know, let me find that one too, girls. If you have it, I don't know why.
It's on our page.
It's actually on our page.
Thank you. Well, there you go. That's one we did reshare. Okay, here it is. Here.
Yeah.
Control our bodies, the freedom to Michelle become Obama. A mother through IVF like I did.
We want to make it easier for mothers and families to have babies, not harder. That includes supporting the availability of fertility treatments like IVF in every state in America, like the overwhelming majority of Americans, including the vast majority of Republicans, conservatives, Christians, and pro-life Americans, I strongly support the availability of IVF for couples who are trying to have a precious baby.
I mean, and this is what he's been saying. But the whole DNC was accusing him of, Charlottesville gets brought up. Biden even in recent weeks had brought up Charlottesville. Snopes is left-leaning.
Easy for them to bring this up because the mainstream media backs them and will not share the truth. So they can sit there and lie because they know that all their little cronies in the media are going to just not call them out on it.
That's right.
Nobody listening is going to go fact check them.
Right.
Just like they take everything at face value that Fauci says, that Walensky said, that Biden says, like that Kamala says, like that The View says. Like it doesn't, people just, they're like, oh, well, they said it, so it's true. It's not. It's not. No. It's really sad that we can't believe it. Y'all, we fact check on all sides before we share. Trust us. Yes. We want to make sure we're not sharing that. Because look, the right can be just as guilty as like when something comes out and it just blows up all over social media.
It's annoying. There have
been several things that we've been like close to posting and then we go check it. We're like, you know, let's wait till we find out a little more about that.
Yeah. And especially if it's like, if it's clickbait, if it's like an excerpt, like go get the full context of the whole speech.
Right.
Which is why Charlottesville was important. Listen to the whole speech.
Right.
They're so brazen to just continue to parrot these lies, knowing that we have the internet, knowing that we can pull these clips,
videos.
They don't care. They just keep saying it.
You just keep saying it. But this is 1984. This is, thank God my kids got a classical education. And so did I in a lot of regards, even though I was a public school kid, but that was a long time ago. Like reading classical literature and reading 1984, it's the whole playbook. It's like we're living it. We're living it. Parrot it enough. Say it enough that it becomes true. Repeat a lie enough that it becomes the truth. And don't believe your lying eyes. So when your eyes tell you that's not true, don't ignore it. And this is why we just cannot be quiet, guys, because we still, the polling shows them neck and neck. I do think Trump's up and was up before Kennedy a smidge. And I think Vegas is betting on Trump at the moment. But a lot can happen between now and November. Please, for the love of all that is holy, you don't have to get into political arguments with people. Use the Socratic method is what RFK talks about. And I love this. And my kids learn that in their classical school. What's the Socratic method? It's asking questions.
Yep.
Why do you believe that? Where did you get that from? We had somebody comment on one of our posts this week that something that was disagreement and we just responded, okay, hey, will you post the evidence for, you know, your opinion? Crickets. They don't know why they believe what they believe because literally they're under a stupor. I don't know how else to describe it. And by the way, we all can be. That's why we're saying when you're on social media and the algorithm has learned where you lean, all you're going to get is you're just going to reiterate what you already believe. If you watch TV, MSNBC, CNN, I doubt any of those people are listening to us right now, but at this point. But listen, if that's what's going in your ears all the time, that is what you're going to believe. Same with Fox News. You have got to diversify and back up and just ask questions and search out answers from the sources, from multiple sources. And it's not easy, but the only way we're going to restore this country, we get the truth out there and we get people understanding how they didn't know the truth. You did not know. One of the things that Trump wants to do is for Kennedy is have an assassination investigation into the assassination of his father, uncle. And we all know that the CIA was responsible. I think that's what's going to come out. And Kennedy spoke about this on Tucker. He said that Trump was told by, y'all help me out with the guy that's corrupt.
Oh, wait, what?
Trump was told by the guy that worked in the Trump administration, but he was totally corrupt. Pompeo. I think it was Mike Pompeo. Do not release it. Do not release it. But it implicates the whole CIA. And so what we're going to find is our own government killed Kennedy and RFK Jr. And by the way, MLK. And then they gave him a holiday to make it. You know, so I'll feel better about it. But I believe that I do not believe. I totally believe MLK was a government inside job. I do. So we need the truth to come out, and we need to know the truth, and we need to not be afraid of the truth. But what we have found is that, guess what they think, y'all? They think we're dumb. Which leads us to the next podcast we're going to tell you to listen to. And RFK, in his endorsement of Trump, mentions Callie Means and Casey Means. We're obsessed with them, by the way. We have been obsessed with them.
If you know them, on our podcast.
Please, Lord Jesus, let them come talk to us. Like, we just want to hang out with them for a while. I want to pick their brains to death, you know. I am like, want to consume everything they talk about. But just go listen. We won't go into all the detail for the sake of time. But listen, guys, what they're exposing is the corruption of big food and big pharma. And all you have to do is look around you at how sick America is and ask yourself, why? Why are we the sickest of the industrialized countries? Why? And they start going through and giving you the history lessons. Did you guys know that when tobacco was exposed for all of its lies? Because, by the way, when we live in the state of North Carolina, honey, we know. We knew those tobacco families. They were withholding information that tobacco smoking caused cancer, among other things. Well, when they got fully exposed, those tobacco companies took that cash and bought up food companies. And they subsequently owned the biggest food companies in the world, or even in America. They were owned by tobacco companies. R.J. Reynolds and whatever the other one was. I can't remember. Do y'all remember?
Philip Morris.
So guess what they did? They made food addictive. That's a good way to ensure profits, right? Create something that people begin to need. And, you know, we can speculate on why that was, or if it was on purpose or whatever, but it's what happened. And if we're going to become healthy, then we have to know the truth about the history of what's happened. And then we have to know the truth about what we need to do to rectify it. Kristen, you want to say something?
I was just going to say, every time I think about this, I just remember when Mitch and I went to France and we came back, and it's like we went from one country and airport right back into America. And all you have to do is look around and say, we know what country we're in now.
Yeah.
I mean, really that sad. Even going to the beach, like looking around, we are not healthy. We are not fit. Now, we are, the three of us, because we know, we pay attention, and we work hard. It's work to be healthy. It's work to cook good, like nice dinners and on a budget. It's work to stay fit and exercise and make the time.
But it takes time.
It's worth it. It's worth it. It's so worth it. And just seeing what's going on. And I think just knowing, educating yourself. And when everybody says like, oh, we ate this then, we ate this that, even the bad food back then, because y'all, I ate toaster strudels and popcorn.
It wasn't the same.
Everything was canned and fried and everything.
Yes. But
the bad food back then wasn't even half as bad as it is now.
No.
Someone just even posted Reese cups like years ago. Now they have even all kinds of even more extra chemicals in there. And that makes me really sad because Reese cups, too. If I'm going to eat
chocolate.
They were
so same.
But I have a really good recipe for homemade ones. So I'll just have to share that with y'all. Oh.
Can you put it in Substack? Can you put it in Substack too? Because I bet our listeners want it.
I mean, better, way better. But I'm just saying, like, it is just really sad to see. But I cannot recommend that podcast enough to everybody. Everybody I sent it to, they're like, oh my God, everybody needs to hear this.
We are just literally trying to make it go as viral, like let it be the most listened to podcast ever. Because once you know better, you can do better. And let me also say, you're going to hear more of this from Kristen and Amy and me, in the coming months and years, because it is our passion. It is. If you think about it, us getting passionate about a COVID vaccine had everything to do with health, right? Health and freedom. We're going to do that because we do see it as the existential crisis of America. And if we don't fix this, we don't have a country because we don't have people. And then the burdens on us for taking care of sick people is going to become too much. We're not going to make it. You understand? It's like our health, our physical and mental health is the foundation upon which our country can function.
Well, and this next generation, these are going to be the future leaders of our country in politics and business and finance and trade and everything. And if they're all obese, sick, mentally, depressed, anxious, I mean, what are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
And oh, I was going to say, yeah. Speaking of the next generation, have your kids listen to that podcast.
Yes.
My daughter listened to a large part of it with me because we were in the car. I'm like, we're playing this. And yes. She was like, wait, what? And she knows stuff, but I think also hearing it from other people. And of course they go a little more in depth. She even said, I don't want that cake. I don't want that. You know, and I'm not trying to make anybody fearful. Like, trust me, we have sweets. We have, yes. We indulge. But it's about making good choices most of the time. You're always going to, you know, like we have toxins, but.
That's right. We will pick our poisons on occasion. On occasion, I will say what we would like to encourage our audience to know. Just start making the small changes. Please don't get overwhelmed when you hear these things and think, you know, I got to do everything right now. No, listen, if you start to make incremental changes over time, within a year's time, you'll be a different person. Right? It's like little small things like drinking more water for 6 weeks and then maybe no processed food for 6 weeks. And just, you eat. Listen, guys, if you eat straight out of the ground, that's your best case. That's your best case. I just learned something this week. Did y'all know this? When you take spinach out of the ground, it starts losing vitamin C immediately, like within days. That by the time it reaches your plate, it may have no vitamin C left because the vitamin C comes from the soil and it being, you know, basically entrenched into that soil. So when you remove it, it starts dying and it's losing its vitamin C. Well, humans are the only mammal that does not produce its own vitamin C. There might be one other one, but I think we're the only one. And it's very interesting. We have to have it. Well, God made it to where we could go outside and eat off the vine and eat out of the ground and you would get it. But our food is nutrient depleted. And I think that's another thing. When you buy from the grocery store, shop the perimeters more than you shop down the aisles, right? Buy the stuff that is soon out of the ground, not processed, and try to buy from local farmers as much as possible. Bring those back, right?
I was going to say the local, because it's not as much about organic, y'all. Yeah. It is about the low pesticides and herbicides and having the best nutrients. And also, when you buy local, sometimes some people think it's more expensive, but it actually can be cheaper because there's less hands involved. There's less people involved when they don't have to pay the overhead and it's just them. And plus, you're supporting local, you're supporting a family, and you're getting the best nutrients because you're getting it as close to getting out of the ground as possible. And to me, and also organic, it's to me, I get organic as much as I can because there's less chance of there being glyphosate, it being genetically modified, pesticides, herbicides. But having like the certification of organic, that can be very expensive for farmers, and that can be such a process. So I think just knowing your local people is even more important.
Absolutely. And let's bring back the farmers and let's provide legislation, which is what Trump and Kennedy have talked about, that empowers the local farmer more than it does these big corporations. Did you know that China owns more of the pork in America than America does now?
Yep. Yep.
Guys, come on. All right. Let me play one little clip. This is just something I recorded today from Callie and Casey. Hopefully.
So the thing that was, I understood, and that I am working and we are spending our lives to evangelize this book, Good Energy, is that the reasons why Americans are getting sicker every year are very simple. Americans want to be healthy. Americans do not want to die early. They do not want to see their kids with all these chronic health issues like autism and food allergies and obesity and prediabetes and 40% of teens with mental health issues. No one wants this, but the system is rigged against the American patient to create diseases and then profit off of them. This is happening across almost every lever of our major industries, from processed food to tech to pharma. And so really, what Americans need to understand is that these trends can stop immediately. We need to understand why we're sick, which is our toxic food system and the ways that systematically several industries are profiting off of our addiction and illness. And if we can understand that and create very simple top-down and bottom-up strategies to address it, Americans will become rapidly healthier. And so
there you go.
Did y'all know that Callie Means is the one that reached out to RFK and told him that he really needed to talk to Trump, because Callie had been talking to Trump about
advising
him on this whole epidemic. And he's the one who said, you really need to talk to RFK. And so he was kind of like the bridge, and he's the one who made RFK say, okay, I'll talk to him. So we have Callie to thank for
that. And I was actually surprised his wife is the one that said, you need to hear them out. Like, I mean,
Callie RFK's wife.
Went to RFK. Yeah. Like, yes. Like,
oh, Cheryl. Callie,
Cheryl.
Yes, Cheryl. Wow. Cheryl. That was on the interview that, because that was what RFK, what he said to Tucker today, because I was really shocked to hear that he, at first RFK didn't know what to do about it when Callie reached out to him.
Yeah. He said no.
And then Cheryl, and Cheryl said, you need to hear them out. And so I think that's amazing because I feel like she's the one that was probably definitely going to hold him back more than anything. RFK, hold RFK back from doing any alliance with Trump. But the fact that she was open to that is huge. I mean, I just feel like it's waking a lot of people up, which would be a segue to, I don't know if we have time to play that clip with that other girl too, the Democratic volunteer.
Oh, the volunteer.
Yeah. Let me see if I mean, I can sorry find to her. Switch to that. But
no.
I know you're about to say something, Holly, but it just reminds me, like, I feel like I'm hoping, you know, circling back to this whole alliance, and thank goodness for Callie bridging the gap between them, because,
and
how interesting that it is all about the food and pharma industry, and that's what's bringing them all together, because that is so important.
Well, that's bringing them together, but I will say that RFK did say one of the other main reasons why he wanted to endorse Trump is because of the war.
I know that
he would have, he promises to have that resolved in like 24 hours, like in the this stupid proxy war with Ukraine.
Yes.
And also the free speech, they're aligned on free speech.
Yes.
And RFK is such a huge free speech advocate, and the Democratic Party used to be the beacon of the free speech movement. They have completely abandoned that whole idea. So, like, he has no choice. So he has top reasons to align with Trump. Maybe they don't agree on everything, like we've said, but, like, childhood illness and obesity and, you know, the food system, all of that stuff, the war, the forever wars, the proxy wars, and the censorship. Like, those are the top core things that they're going to work on together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Tulsi Gabbard also came out yesterday and gave her endorsement of President Trump. Remember, she ran for president, right? And then she was a Democratic congresswoman from Hawaii. We love Tulsi. We love Tulsi. She thinks, and she's not a toe the line girl. She's not a, okay, well, I got to go along with the party here. And her story, you need to read her book. If anyone has not, I mean, her story, the way she was threatened by the Democrat Party and told basically fall in line. Just follow. Yeah, you got elected. Now fall in line and do what we say.
Well, now she's on the terror list. She's on the terror domestic terror watch list right now.
Because she spoke out against Kamala. So I will say Robert F. Kennedy Jr. did post a picture of her in her National Guard uniform or in her military uniform. And it just said, Wonder Woman just joined the Justice League. And I thought, what an appropriate way to say that, because that is, they are united. Again, you can disagree on everything under the sun, but they're united on no more wars. They are united on free speech, and they're united on the health of America, which is our biggest, honestly, one of our, it's got to be probably our biggest crisis. We also want to mention, though, speaking of censorship and free speech, Mark Zuckerberg came out and admitted that he was pressured by the Biden-Harris administration during COVID to censor. In fact, if you read it, it sounds like he felt like they were bullied. He said, I should have spoken out about it. I'm sorry that I did not. I'm sorry that we followed along. He said, of course, we have hindsight to know that a lot of that, quote, misinformation was indeed right, but we got it wrong. And moving forward, I'm taking these steps. And even talked about how, you know, he funded a lot of the, he says he was trying to make it easier for people to vote during a pandemic and do it safely, but he said it got misconstrued as him trying to help the Democrats win. It's something he regrets. He said, I will not be doing it again. He said, that was not my intention. So it was interesting to see Zuckerberg's, and he, you know, after Trump got shot, he goes, that was badass. He got up and pumped his fist. He's, I'm sorry, that's badass. Zuck looks like he's having a little softening too, you know, and I think it's just pay attention, guys. When you start to realize Trump says enough things that will annoy you, and just because he's not a polished speaker, Trump talks to you like he is a New York real estate person. That's how he talks, like what he thinks. If it's in his brain, it's coming out his
Right.
Saying that's always the best thing. But what I am saying is people will trust him because he says what he thinks. And I think that he does not fit that polished politician prototype by any stretch.
actions versus words too, because I saw all day yesterday, he showed up at one of his campaigning places. I don't know where it was. Maybe, where were they, in Michigan or somewhere?
Michigan or Minnesota, maybe Minnesota.
Shows up, brings them all pizza, invited them all to Mar-a-Lago personally if they win the election.
So great.
He went to, yesterday was the 3-year anniversary of the horrific Afghanistan pullout, and we lost 13 of our soldiers. Biden was on vacation. Kamala was nowhere to be found. Trump was at the grave sites with the families laying flowers on the graves. I mean, you got to look at, oh, he says mean things or he has mean tweets or whatever, but like, he's out there doing things. Of course, that's you right. don't know about it because you're not seeing it because the media is not going to tell you about it.
That's
But he's doing things. Okay. He's doing things that matter. He's connecting with people, real people.
Real people. Mm-hmm.
Whereas Kamala hasn't sat down for 40 days to give any kind of interview. She still has no policies on her website. Nobody knows what she stands for. And, you know, she's a brat, though.
Which, hey, by the way, we're not going to have time to play that thing. But, Kristen, will you put it in our Substack? We want you to hear. This is a young girl who's worked for the Democratic Party for a long time. And she went to the DNC. And she just says, I'm going to take so much heat for this. And I know it. But, like, this is not the party I signed up for. And I think that's what we want to say is, this is not the party that we grew up with. This is not it, y'all. It has been corrupted. It's been deeply corrupted and captured. And all the things that have been corrupted and captured, we got to take back ASAP. Mm-hmm. And so we need to elect people, whether we like them or not, who will do that. By the way, the Secret Service, egregiously responsible, if you ask me, for what happened to Donald Trump. And it's only a miracle that he's here. He probably shouldn't be here. But no one's been fired. Just to update on that. Not one person's been fired. They allowed her to resign, but her protege is in charge. Same.
Are they even investigating the story anymore?
Did you know what Don Bongino said, testified this week? He said, apparently, this is him before Congress, I believe. I don't know where he's at. But he says, literally, what the second in command, who is now first in command because the girl, what's her name, retired or stepped down. He was concerned about the agents wearing too many red ties and it may look like they were supporting Donald Trump.
What?
That's what they said. That's what Dan Bongino testified. Now, we'll see, but that's what he testified. Yeah, that was his big concern. How about the safety of a former U.S. president who is running for re-election? How about that be your number one objective? These people.
They saw him. The guy, it was clear that he was on a roof, like in the line of sight. And people were calling it out and nothing happened. I mean, and are we just sticking with the story with this just one kid? Yeah. He did it all?
Trying to move on.
They're trying to move on. Don't let him forget.
If it was anybody else but Trump that was almost assassinated or that was, you know, almost killed.
We'd never stop hearing it.
Do you know how long we talked about January 6th and nobody was killed? Well, Ashley Babbitt was killed by a Capitol Police officer, but nobody else was killed.
No.
And we talked about that ad nauseum for 3 years. Meanwhile, a former president running for re-election almost gets killed and it lasted about a week in the media and then they've just moved right on.
I would like to have people who think that January 6th was the worst thing that's ever happened in this country. I would love to have them take an actual test on the events of that day and see how they pass. To see if they really know what all went down that day, how it happened. It's like we live in two different worlds. They have their version of events. Listen, as someone who voted for Trump, and I was watching it on TV that day, I remember what was going through my head, which was, oh, please don't cause issues. Please don't, like, that was what was going through my head. Please don't cause, like, a massive disruption. I was all understood why there was a march there. I understood the number of mail-in ballots being Democrat. When you have, like, 90% of your mail-in ballots going for one candidate, we should all reassess. And even if we just say, well, it is what it is, and so now Biden's going to be president, okay, well, let's not let it happen again. What measures are we taking now to make sure this election is fair?
Georgia has come out recently. I don't know all but they've come out and they say we owe Mr. Trump an apology because they have found like millions, right? Of like missing votes or something. Like,
well, in Texas just took a million, was it a million voters off of their roster? I mean, over their voter registrations, a million, because they were either dead or illegal. By the way, we posted this on our stories. We need to turn this into a reel because or we need to pin it or something, guys. There's this interview where a man explains to Roseanne Barr on her podcast how illegals vote illegally. It's so easy.
Oh.
He said, when you cross the border, this is what happens. You cross the border, you say, why are you here? If you say, I'm here to work, they issue you a social security number. You know this, right? Like, it's just that simple. They give you this social security number. And then when you have to do that, and they say, go get a driver's license. So then when they get a driver's license, guess what the DMV says? Do you want to register to vote? Yes. They don't check any birth certificate. They're not checking that you can register to vote without your birth certificate. And he explains the whole process. And I'm like, this is why. So that's why, guys, they can come right on in and vote.
Meanwhile, but when I took my son to get his permit and or his license, one of the two, I didn't have every document under the damn sun.
Under the damn sun.
The birth certificate, the original one.
I remember thinking, also to just come back into my own freaking country, I go through a rigmarole. But I could just go down to the southern border and just walk across if I wasn't a U.S. citizen. I mean,
Well, wait a minute. Have y'all even heard that they can buy a house with zero, like, interest?
Oh, let's talk about that. In California and Oregon, buy a house with no down payment required. Love Americans. The left doesn't love Americans. They love power. Understand, they do not love Americans. They love power. They're going to kiss the tails of everybody with a pulse to get in here and buy their vote. And if you want to go talk about the last time we bought votes in this country, go read Lyndon B. Johnson and what he said with the welfare program, that if we pass it, we're going to have, and he used a terrible word, voting for us for the next 100 years. Look it up. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. Okay. We got to wrap it up, guys. We're excited. We got Matt Ray. I don't know if you guys we're going to get to interview him this week too. So that'll come out after this episode. But we're excited because this is a person who went through a transition and regretted it. And he has been a very vocal person online. You'll find him on Gays Against Groomers and some of those Instagram accounts or TikTok accounts. But we're excited to talk to him and learn from him this week as well. So we got a lot more amazing content coming for you for the rest of the year. We're excited. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you go follow us on Substack. You can subscribe for free, but it's where we put all of our sources of information. Go follow us on Instagram as well. We'll promise we're going to try to make Twitter work one of these days and do a better job rather than just retweeting all the things that resonate with us. But if you liked this conversation, just go give us a subscribe and a 5-star review. That would be so appreciated. And we love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Bye, y'all. Oh.